Boy, that sounds like balanced food. Hot dogs and candy. That's all you need. Maybe a bottle of pop just to mellow you out. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we have come to the end of fall, at least the fall that we think of in terms of colorful leaves, etc. The red oaks in my yard are down just to their last few straggling leaves. Those are the ones that that may hang on through the winter. If they are firmly attached, they may manage to stay for a while. But for the most part, boy, we had some strong winds, some rain. I had almost 2 inches of rain in that last event that ended kind of last Tuesday. And it was just the end for most of the leaves around the area, even the tamaracks. Were probably at their peak a week ago, are now down to their ratty fringes. I mean, those little orange needles that cling to the new growth. And as you look at the tamaracks, you'll see that most of the color now is way out at the ends of the branches. And what it is are the individual needles that come out on the new growth. And they're a little bit different. So the regular style or way of needle propagation on tamaracks is there's this little structure on the stem called a fascicle, and the fascicle is basically where the needles will emerge in the spring, and they'll come out maybe 10 to 15 needles per fascicle. But the new growth that occurs after spring during the summer will be the needles, there won't be fascicles on that structure. There'll only be needles coming out from the stem, and the fascicles won't show up until the second year. But those needles that are on that new growth cling to the tree much longer than the regular needles. And so you're going to see the ends might be 8, 10, 12. In a good year, it might be 15 or 18 inches of new growth. But all of that new growth has these individual needles on it. And those needles, for some reason, they cling to the tree much longer than those that grow out of the fascicles that are older needles. So just keep an eye on the tamaracks, and they will provide you with a bit of color as they sort of fade to the end. And of course, there's always that group that seems to be a little bit out of sync and maybe has a bit more color on it than others. So one of the things that I have noticed is that I have a European larch in my yard. Now, it's a relative of the tamarack, but it's the European variety, and its phenology is somewhat different from the tamaracks. It breaks leaf bud about the same time in the spring, but in the fall it's at least a week, sometimes 10 days behind the tamarack. So if you have a larch in your yard right now, it probably looks like a tamarack in full color. My larch is kind of yellow green right now and not anywhere near the orange of the regular tamaracks. I've also been watching the asparagus. It's quite yellow right now, and now is a good time to go out and mark it. Take a little flag so that you can stick it in the ground right by the base of the bright yellow asparagus plants. And in the springtime, you're going to have to remember where it was that you put the flag. That is, you know, within a few hundred feet along the highway, maybe, and then do a little wandering about and find your flag so that you know where to go look for your asparagus in May. But it will be delicious and available. And now is the time of year when you can find it quite easily. much easier than looking for it in the spring when you're going to be kind of wandering around and struggling to find it. Among other things that are quite colorful this time of year include a host of plants that are not native to northern Minnesota. And those would be eastern cottonwood. In the Grand Rapids area, the eastern cottonwoods are losing their leaves, but they are still at least 50 to 75% of the leaves still remain on the trees, and they're a kind of a mixture of yellow and green. So the cottonwoods, weeping willows are holding on to their leaves pretty well right now. There was one more that was quite spectacular. Weeping willows, the Lombardy poplar, which is another imported plant. And then finally, buckthorn, which is still bright green and should be attended to by you. If you are a landowner and you have plants on your property right now that are bright green, that are covered in green leaves, chances are it's buckthorn, and it should be uprooted if it's small enough. If you can get a hold of it and pull it out of the ground, do that. If it's too large to do that and you cut it off, you need to cover the stump. And there are a couple of options. You can take plastic and just cut a little square and put it over the stump and wire it onto the stump so that it blocks the sunlight from the stump. Or you can put a can over it, or you can put some herbicide on it. And any one of those three will prevent the tree from sending up suckers from its roots and trying to reestablish itself. And those are the three ways that I know of to get rid of buckthorn. The robins are busy hitting the buckthorn pretty hard, doing a lot of eating of the berries that are on them. The berries travel through the gut of the bird and end up being expelled and planted again anew somewhere else. And so the robins, though they probably would, you know, not be culpable, they don't understand that what they're doing is bad for the environment, but they are simply eating berries that are available and then passing them out and planting new buckthorn. So it's an ongoing battle, and one that I hope that you will engage in. I have been engaged in that battle on my property for several years. I've been seeing some late season birds. I've got lots of juncos around. I think everybody's probably seen the juncos. The snow buntings are in the area. The other day, there was a male northern harrier working the fields along Blue Heron Drive, and that's always kind of an exciting thing. The harriers, my neighbor Marvin tells me that his experience with the harriers is that they hang out and keep active until the first snow that stays on the ground. And once that happens, they quickly move south. So that's probably what we're going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks. We should probably get some snow that remains on the ground. I've also seen a number of chipmunks still active, and I would expect that before too long, they will sort of disappear. Pardon me. I've also noticed, in terms of just general color as you're driving along, that there are some willows, some native willows, that still have a few leaves here and there, and you can see them, yellow-green or yellow, kind of thatching these willow shrubs. Also, down a little bit lower, you've got common blackberry. And those leaves are deeply burgundy and red. And you've got red raspberry. And those leaves are kind of, at least yesterday, the ones I was looking at were quite yellow-green. And so we had this kind of yellowish-greenish color. These are all just within a few feet of the surface of the ground, so they're not really tall. But the blackberries are red, and the raspberries are yellow green right now. And if you go just a little bit lower and start looking into the woods here and there, you're going to see the blueberries, and the blueberries are quite red right now, really quite spectacularly red. So check out the blueberries. They are showing some real color for this time of year. I've been watching a northern pin oak that my neighbor Marvin has on his property, and I was by there yesterday. The tree had lost all of the leaves on the upper parts of the tree, and this is a fairly large pin oak. Pin oaks don't grow quite as big as the red oaks, but this is a fairly large one, and the top half of the tree was just about completely bare of leaves, but the lower half was still quite colorful, sort of a bronzy red. Northern pin oaks this time of year, or perhaps just a little bit earlier in the fall, can turn spectacularly red, scarlet even, just bright, bright red. And this is the time of year when people begin to kind of notice them. And I think Joel Rosen down in the Mattawa area was talking about the northern pin oaks that he was seeing this fall down there. So check out the northern pin oaks. You may have one in your neighborhood that's still quite red. And speaking of red, the red elderberry. Yesterday, as I was wandering around in the woods, I came across a bunch of red elderberry that still had leaves on them, still clinging to a few leaves. Not a lot, but some. And so I've been kind of watching those and just kind of trying to figure out when they're going to finally give it up and move on. And finally, there's a black walnut right here in downtown Grand Rapids that I keep my eye on. And this past week, it dropped all of its leaves and became bare. The other tree that's right outside our studios here is a river birch, and it is still remarkably green. And that speaks to the point that I was making earlier, that there are these trees that are growing in this area that are not native to this area, and therefore they come to us with a different phenology built into their genes, and they don't know that they should, you know, that their leaves should have turned yellow and dropped off by now. They're only reacting to what their messages are coming from another area where fall may not come on quite as quickly. So that's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, I encourage you to get in touch with us if you have comments, questions, or observations you'd like to share. We are always anxious to hear from you.